hard, but yet a important message tonight as far as when it comes to our life and how we do things. And boy, we live in a day of excess, do we not? And, you know, a day of extremism. And boy, there is extremism in the day in which we live, on every hand, on every time. You know, we have extreme sports, we have extreme exercise, we have extreme everything in the day in which we live. Extremism when it comes to religion, extremism when it comes to sinfulness, and sometimes you wonder, boy, the world has gone crazy with just, you know, it's ridiculous. Kids were talking on the bus then. I had to laugh on the way home. They were talking about 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds having boyfriends and girlfriends. Now, isn't that extreme? That's stupidity at the highest level, to have a boyfriend or girlfriend when you're 5 or 6 years old. But we live in a generation, I am telling you, that it's extreme. People, and you know, if you've done it, fine. I know I got some of my grandkids, they pierce the baby's ears when they're born. And I think, why does a baby need pierced ears? Who are you trying to attract to a baby? Earrings are meant to be attractive to men. Why do people do that for little girls? And I just think that we live in an extreme time when you think, well, if I don't have a boyfriend by the time I'm 10 years old, I'm missing out on something. I'm thinking, man, that's extreme. It's ridiculous. And I think to myself, what has gone wrong with this generation? You have this extreme sports. You people got these watches. I want to be better than I was yesterday and better than I was yesterday. And it's kind of funny. Some of the commercials that shows the guy swimming laps trying to beat his little children. They're sitting on the edge of the pool. Isn't that? It's ridiculous. It's extreme. But we live in an extreme generation, a generation that's out of balance, that's out of kilter, that's out of, they've lost control of themselves. And we live in a day when people, they have lost control. I mean, look, that's why all this stuff on the internet where people have lost control. We were watching on the news the other night, and all you kids ought to listen. They say all these kids that spend time texting on their phone, that's all they do, that they're causing themselves to have the same condition that old people have when they have osteoporosis. You have kids and young adults that are 14 to 35 years of age, and they're already giving an unnatural curvature of their spine that will affect them till the day they die, and it's all from texting and looking down and texting. It's all extreme, you know? And I think, my goodness, I said, what has happened to this generation? I mean, they've lost control of themselves. And, you know, parents have lost control. Kids have lost control. Our society's out of control. It's out of control. Just look around. It's out of control. We were joking around and talking about Colorado today at the table, and talking about all the potheads and all the dope fiends out there in Arizona and Colorado and how they can't even function. And I was laughing. I was listening to a couple of Democratic senators, and they were drug addicts, recovering drug addicts. You know what they said? The worst thing they can do is legalize this marijuana. He said, because what they're going to do, they're going to make it like cigarettes, and you're going to have little 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds walk around being potheads and destroying their brain before they ever get started. Amen. You see what a crazy day we're living in? We're living in a crazy day. You say, what? Because, boy, something's gone wrong in this world. Horribly wrong. And the devil's getting ready to take over. And man, my goodness, I just think to myself, what has gone wrong with the generation in which we live? If you look in the Bible tonight, Proverbs chapter 11, we'll get to it here, Proverbs chapter number 11, and you think, my goodness, what has happened? People have lost something. Something's out of kilter. Something's wrong. Notice what it says, and this is talking about cheating people. I understand that. Years ago, they would weigh money, and they would weigh things to see what things were going to cost, and what they would do is they would rig the scales so that they would be able to cheat people. So that what was expensive would be bought for little, and what was cheap would be sold for much. And so in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. If you look in chapter number 16, or just a few pages over, 16 and verse number 11, notice what it says there. A just weight and balance are the Lord's, all the weights of the bag are his. And what I want to preach on this night is this simple thought of finding balance. Finding balance. Now, if you know anything about life, if you lose your balance, you lose your ability to walk. You know why a lot of people walk around with canes? Because they're out of balance. They've lost their balance, and they need a cane to walk, and that's okay. But I want to preach on this thought of finding balance. Sometimes people have equal ear problem with their equilibrium in their ear, and they lose their balance. And if you have ever had inner ear problems, you know how sick that can make you feel, and how wobbly you become on your feet. It's like to be a gymnastics person. You have to be good at gymnastics. You have to have what? Balance. You have to have balance. You have to be able to balance your body and be able to do some things. And the truth of the matter is, without balance, nothing in life will work. Everything has to be balanced. You realize that the Milky Way is balanced and everything's in order. The planets and the stars and the sun and everything, it all has balance to it. And you know what? Your life has got to have some balance in it also. And that's really what I'm preaching on tonight, is finding balance. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we do thank you for the word tonight. Pray that you bless it. And God, we need balance in our life. God, we need you to work. We need you to move. God, we want our lives to be blessed. And Father, I just pray that you give us help, that you give us grace, and God, that you would work in our hearts as only you can. And Lord, bless the word now, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we preach on this thought, as I said, everything in life needs balance. You ever had a tire that was out of balance? And it went thump, 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 or wobble, 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 and the whole car is vibrating? I mean, I've had it happen a lot of times. You ever had your wash machine get out of balance? You know, comforter in there and see if that thing gets out of balance. Man, I'd be going, bah, 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 and jumping all over the place. You say, why? It's out of balance. Things get out of balance. You know, an engine has a harmonic balancer. Without that harmonic balancer, an engine will not stay in time. That's why that thing on the... This is a lesson on mechanics for you who don't know anything about mechanics. On the front of your engine, on the very bottom, there's a big pulley, and it's called a harmonic balancer. And what it does, it balances the pistons so that they go perfectly in the way they're supposed to go. And if that's not on there, then what happens, the engine gets out of time. And if the engine gets out of time, you know what happens? It blows up or it won't run. And so an engine has to be balanced. You have to have a balanced diet. Or what happens? You get sick. How many of you think, and we were joking around about this today too, but how many think you could just live on Coca-Cola and nothing else? I said, you can't live on that. You can't live on that. You'll die. It'll kill you, right? You got to have balance in everything. You need a balanced diet. You need a little bit of everything in your diet. God made us that way. You know, and that's why you have the different food groups, because guess what? If you want to be healthy, you need a balanced diet. Now, my little granddaughter, Chloe, she thinks she should have cookies and candy and snacks for all three meals. She thinks that's a meal. She says, you know, asked what she wanted for her birthday. She said, what do you like for your birthday meal? I want to have cake, and I want to have cookies, and I want to have candy. And I said, Chloe, that is not a meal. You know, whatever happened to meat and potatoes and vegetables and all that kind of stuff. But you see, that's a child. And a child thinks like a child and acts like a child, right? And that's why you can't let them make the decisions for you, because what will they, you know, can you live on McDonald's? You can't live on McDonald's. And you know, when I had my physical, you know the first thing they asked me? How many times do you eat fast food a week? They asked me that also on my survey for me to have my hernia surgery. I'm going to have surgery. And they said, what does eating at McDonald's have to do with having hernia surgery? Obviously, there's something to it. Or they wouldn't have been asking. And, you know, and I understand what the problem is when it comes to, hey, our physical health and recovering and all this kind of stuff. You got to have a balanced diet. So, again, that's important. In a building, has to be balanced or what? It'll fall down. Chemicals have to be balanced or it'll fall down. They'll explode. You know, a plane has to be balanced. When we used to travel a lot, we'd get on the plane and they'd say, all right, all you people up here, you need to change seats so the plane can take off. We'd be on these puddle jumpers, these prop planes, and they would literally have us move around. They'd say, all right, and they were kind about it, but they'd say, you bigger people need to come sit up here, and you other people need to sit here. Brother Doug knows that when he got on the boat. They'd say, fat man to the what? To the back of the boat. The fat man couldn't ride in the front of the boat. He had to go to the back of the boat, right? Or the boat's not going to do what it's supposed to do. Boat's supposed to ride in the front of the air, right? So fat man to the back of the boat. I know, I rode in the back of the boat with him. We all rode back there together. And so, you know, and they put the skinny people in front. So things have to be balanced. And you know what? And so it is in home. You know, you have a home that gets out of balance, it's going to fall apart because it's out of balance. Things are out of balance. You know what happens to a church that doesn't have balance? It's going to fall apart. You know what's happened to Christianity? You know why Christianity is falling apart? Things are out of balance. Amen. You know, when we major on singing, you know what the average church majors on today? Singing. And you know what's happened to the church? It's got out of balance. And that's why Christianity and churches are falling apart. Because Christianity, singing is important. But you know, there's more to the service than just singing. Amen. You know? We always said this, and it's true, you've got to have three books, and I ain't preaching on this, I'll come back to it. Let me put my thing here. But you've got to have three books that run the church. Right? You got to have this book, it's the Bible. So you got to have preaching and teaching of the Word of God. You got to have this book, it's the song book. And then you got to have this book, pays for everything. But you got to have all three books. And there's balance. That's perfect balance in the church. And if you don't have those three things, guess what you don't have? You don't have balance in the church. Now, what's happened today? They've taken this out of the church, hopefully to get more of this. And they did it with this. Let's turn the lights off and dance. And hopefully, let's put a credit card machine in the back, and we'll get a little change from everybody on the way out the door. Because people don't mind to pay for a rock concert, do they? They will pay in a minute for a rock concert. We're going to have a rock concert. It'll be filled up in here every Sunday. Well, they call me every month. When are you going to take a credit card machine in the back? I said, we're not. But don't you know that you can increase your offerings 25%? I said, I don't care. I said, lady, when they do away with cash and they do away with checks and it's all electronic, I guess we'll have to have a credit card machine in the back. I said, but until there's no more nothing else, we're going with the old way of doing things. Amen. And I can hear people now saying, oh, Brother Chris, come on. You know, you got to be so hard. You got to be so, yeah, exactly, yeah. Because we're not here for the money. We're here to worship God in spirit and truth. Amen. And I believe that's the way it ought to be. But being balanced. And you know, can I prove to you tonight that the Lord is balanced? The Lord's balanced. He's balanced in what He does. And we ought to be balanced in what we do. You know the Lord is light and that He's also darkness. You understand that? If you have one, you need the other. Light and darkness. And believe it or not, God is both of those things. I'm going to read some verses tonight. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. When the Apostle Paul saw Jesus on the Damascus Road, it was a bright and a shining light, and it blinded him. It was so bright. It blinded him. It was so bright that it blinded him. Psalms 104:2 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, and who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Now, God's light, no doubt about it. But what about the darkness part? Psalms 18 says this, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. You say, what did God do? He covered himself with darkness. Now, there's no darkness in God, but he covered himself with it so that we couldn't behold his glory or his beauty. It says, he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about were the dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Where do you think God lives? Well, we say he lives in heaven and he lives in our heart, right? He lives in heaven, he lives in our heart. But have you ever wondered where heaven is? The Bible says that God dwells in an empty place in the north. You know what black holes are? It's a place where light can't even escape. And that's where God's throne is. God's throne is bright as it can be, yet it's surrounded by the cover of darkness so that you and I can't see it. You say, what is it? That's balance. God's balanced in his life. And he is all of these things. He said, I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now think about that for a minute. You know, we know God is fire, is he not? When we came down upon Mount Sinai and the whole mount was on fire and there was smoke, the people trembled in their hearts. Moses trembled, the people trembled. And Hebrews 12:29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." But in Psalms 147 it says this, "He casteth forth his ice like morsels, who can stand before his cold?" Now you say, what is that? That's balance. You know, the scientific laws that we have, Boyle's laws and Newton's laws, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. What is it? That's balance. There's balance in life. God has balance. You know what gets our young people and teenagers in so much trouble? Because they don't want balance in their life. They want what? Extreme in their life is what they want. And they don't think about, hey, what is this extreme thing going to take me to one day? Where are you going to be at the end of the day? The problem is, most teenagers are not capable of considering where they're going to be at the end of the day. Most teenagers and young people and little kids, what do they think about? They think about right now. But they don't think about tomorrow. It's why they can say, "Can I put my hand on the fire?" Because they don't think about what the fire is going to do to them. "Can I stick my finger in the socket?" But they don't think what that's going to do to them, right? They think about instant gratification. What am I going to happen to me right now? Hey, dummy, what's going to happen to you next week? What's going to happen to you next month? What's going to happen to you next year? Where are your decisions going to land you one day? That's what they don't think about. Look in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3, and then we'll get to the message tonight. Ecclesiastes 3, and again, God, he's so balanced. And he shows us that he's balanced in his word. Notice what it says in verse number 1, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die." Isn't that simple? Time to be born, time to die. Balance. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Balance. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. You know what the problem is? Is most folks don't know what time it is. Because they've lost balance in their life. And they don't understand that some things are not going to be good for me. Some things are not going to help me. Because they've lost balance in their life. And you know, it's kind of like, you know, once you're leaning this way, guess which way you're probably going to go? That way. You say, why? Because you're already leaning that way, you've lost balance. And when you lose balance, something bad is going to happen. When I got burned at Frisch's, it's like a Shoney's, I got burned there. It was October 31st, 1980. And what had happened was I'd stepped over this pan of grease, and it was probably about, I want to say it was 450 degrees, and it was burning hot. And what I did is I stepped over it with my foot, and I stepped in the grease. You know what I did? I started to fall, and I said, uh-oh, that's bad, because I didn't want to fall in. I didn't want to sit in the pan, because if you sit in the pan, I know what 450 degrees does to your body, right? I said, that is, I do not want to sit in that pan. So I pulled my foot back, but you know what? I was already leaning this way when I pulled my foot back. I had lost my balance. And you know what happened? I was severely burned and severely hurt because I lost my balance. Let me tell you something. When you lose balance in your life, you're going to get hurt. When your family loses balance, your family is going to get hurt. When the church loses balance, the church is hurt. When our nation has lost its balance, and we've lost our balance in our nation, we have, and we're going to get hurt. Let me tell you something. Finding balance in your life is important, and we need to find it. We need to find it as quick as we can. Now, when it comes to these three simple little things, I think we need balance when it comes to our service to the Father. You know, when you're serving God, you've got to have balance in your life. D.L. Moody said this, and it was so great that he said it. He said, you know, and if you want to be balanced, this is what he said. If you'll pray 15 minutes a day, read your Bible 15 minutes a day, and witness 15 minutes a day, He said, you will have a balanced life for God. You know, it's funny. Some people, all they'll do is pray, but they never read their Bible and they never witness. Some people will read their Bible, but they never pray and they never witness. And then some people witness, but they never read their Bible and never pray. You say, what happens? They get out of balance. You see, if you're going to serve the Lord, there has to be a place, you know, there has to be a, how you want to put it. If all you do is receive and never put out, what happens? Sooner or later, something horrible goes wrong. What happens if you take a sponge and fill it up with water and just let it sit there and it stays filled up with water? Does not that sponge sour over a period of time? You know, for a sponge to stay good, you know what you got to do? You got to get it wet and you got to squeeze all the water out. Get it wet, squeeze all the water out. Get it wet, squeeze the water out and wipe over something. Otherwise, what good is it? You got to have some balance in your life. And that's where we struggle in our life. You know, when we have days when we have ministries, like for example, the parade was a wonderful thing that we had, right? Wasn't that great to have the parade in East Ridge? It was. But you know what we always struggle with when it comes to outward ministries that we have here? We struggle with making that thing balanced. Now, it's great that we had the float, but what did we need to do? What's the most important part of that float? It's being a witness for Jesus Christ. What do we do before the float goes down the parade route? We pass out tracts and give out candy. Now, why? Because we want to be balanced. We want them to see the float and have the gospel tract in their hand so that that float will make more sense to them as they come by, right? And I always, if we're going to do something at church, let's not just do it for show. Let's do it for ministry as well. Let's be effective in what we're doing. And again, you say, why? Because there's got to be some balance to what we're doing here. And again, I'm glad that we won third prize, but were we doing it to win the prize? Are not we doing it for ministry's sake? That's the whole purpose of being in the parade, is for ministry's sake. And so what is the emphasis got to be on when we do things? It has to be the ministry's sake. It has to be the souls of men. There has to be balance. And again, if you don't have that, things get out of order. They just do. And in our Christian life, you know, so many times we get out of order in our life because, you know, we lose balance when it comes to things. I think everybody ought to be passing out gospel tracts. I think everybody ought to be praying. I think everybody ought to be reading their Bible. We're going to put out the Bible schedules in the bulletins next week for the coming year. And again, but those things are important. That we be soul winners. That we be trying to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ tell the maniac Gadara when he got saved? What was the main thing he was supposed to do? He said, go home and tell thy friends what great things God hath done for thee. You know what the purpose of being saved is? To go home and tell someone else what God has done for you. Amen. To be a witness for Jesus Christ. And again, we've lost our focus today. We've lost balance in the church. Soul winning and evangelism have somehow got pushed off to the side, and entertainment has become the focus. And again, we've lost something along the way. Hey, we need, there's no doubt that we need to be a witness for Christ. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. Hey, bringing someone to Jesus Christ is one of the most important things you ever do in this lifetime. But see, we've lost our balance. Seeking God in prayer. What did David say? He said, morning, noon, and night will I pray. You know what that is? That's balance in your life. Having a prayer life. And can I, you know, and I'll be honest with you. Lord, thank you for this food. It's not a prayer life. If that's all the praying we do, we're in trouble. That's not a prayer life. Hey, morning, noon, and night will I pray. It wouldn't hurt you to get up and pray in the morning. It sure wouldn't hurt you to pray before you go to bed at night. And it sure wouldn't hurt you to pray in the afternoon. What did Daniel do? Why was Daniel so successful? He had balance in his life. Did he not bow and pray towards Jerusalem three times a day and pray and ask God to work and move? Did he not serve the Lord and try and influence others? Did he not be a witness in his day to the people that were around him? You say, why was he so successful? He had balance. The Bible says continue in prayer, continue therewith with prayer and thanksgiving. Hey, we got to have some balance in our life. Have some of that in your life. Search the Scriptures. Let the Bible have a part in your life. You know, prayer time and Bible and witnessing is so important. when it comes to our service to the Father. Otherwise, you don't have service to the Father. Service to the Father, praise the Lord, is not sitting in the church, in a church service. This is a worship service, not a service service. You understand what I'm saying here? This is not where you serve God. This is where we worship God together and allow the Word of God to speak to our hearts and to work in our lives. Our service is what we do when we leave that, when we walk out of them two doors back there. The Bible says the field is the world. And our service is what we do the other 6 days during the week. And that's what's so important. But see, we've got out of balance, have we not? We've gotten out of balance. And it comes to our service to the Father. You know what else? We've gotten out of balance when it comes to spending time with our family. We have. You know, and you know, you go to a restaurant. Sometimes, I'm preaching to myself now, but I don't have a smartphone. I just got one. But who's got a smartphone on? You got a smartphone? Yeah, let me see it for a minute. You got it handy? I'll use it. Okay? Can I tell you something? Listen to me good now. This is real important. This is going to hurt. This is not spending time with your family. It's not spending time with your family. And if you think that's spending time with your family, you're so out of balance, it's not funny. Spending time with your family is spending time with your family. And I guarantee you, you go to the restaurant and they're all doing this. Kids are doing this. They're doing this. They can't even eat their meal because they're spending time with this and not each other. Lives get out of balance, do they not? And this little thing has really helped to get families out of business, out of balance with themselves. I just turned it off there. What'd you say? Yeah, with a T on the back, right. But see, you got to have some balance in your life, you know, and have some self-control in your life. You know, families, they don't even know each other. You know, whatever happened to the family table where people sat down the table and ate dinner and actually communicated with one another? How was your day? How was school? What did you do? You know, whatever happened to the family table, the dinner table, where people actually communicated and liked being with each other? People say, well, the home in America is falling apart. Why is it falling apart? It's falling apart because of the telephone, because of the TV, because of every other thing in this world, the American home is falling apart. Because there's no communication in the home anymore. There was a time when, hey, you have the breakfast table, you have the lunch table, you have the dinner table, and people were together. But see, things got out of balance. You say, well, Brother Chris, we're so busy. You're too busy. You're too busy. Spending time together, hey, we're too busy. Whose job is it to raise and train our children? Well, parents, it's our job to raise and train our children. To teach, to train, to tell them to take the lead in their life. Hey, that's our responsibility. And if you don't do it, someone else will. And therein lies the problem. Balance when it comes to our children. Can I look in Deuteronomy for a minute? Can I show you what God thought balance was? In Deuteronomy chapter number 11. And again, we're missing something somewhere. Somewhere along the line, something's gone horribly, horribly wrong. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy 11, and look at verse number 18. Notice what it says. God speaking to Moses, and Moses speaking to the people. And this is what he says, Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. He says, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them upon your sign, upon your hand, that they may be frontless between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, and that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, what does that obviously mean? You're going to have to spend some time with your children. If you're going to be with them in the when they're lying down and with them when they're getting up and with them during the day, that means you're going to spend some time with them. But see, things have gotten out of balance. We live in a day when kids don't barely even see their parents. And they don't know what's taking place. And our nation's falling apart. And the kids are falling apart with it. Because we've lost something along the way. The teaching and the training and taking the lead and giving the example. When it comes to the husband and wife, it's the same thing. Having some balance in the home. And as pastor, Miss Lisa can tell you, sometimes I struggle with that. Between ministry and family and having time to do the things that, hey, it's easy to be busy every day. It is. But you know what? Families have to have time to spend with each other. Husband and wives. You know, it's sad. You know why so many people get divorced? You know what the largest divorce group is in America today? It's in the 50s. The 50-year-olds have the largest divorce group of any group in America today. You know why? Because the kids grow up. And then all of a sudden, mom and dad find out that they don't know each other and they don't like each other. It's true. Because they never did anything together. And they turn 50 and they want a divorce. And you know what happens? Divorce has never made anybody happier. Divorce is the lie of the devil to make people miserable and destroy homes. It never made anybody happier. But see, there's got to be time for a family. How do you rejoice with the wife of your youth if you don't ever spend any time with her? What do you got to do? You got to spend some time together. Families, I mean, husband and wife, enjoying one another and being one another, honoring one another, knowing one another. It's sad. But again, this is something, hey, you lose balance in your life. And when you lose balance, things fall apart. You say, well, how in the world am I ever going to finish this thing that we call the Christian race? How am I going to finish this thing? Well, if you're going to finish, there's a way to finish. If you're seeking to finish, there's a way. And the Bible gives us three things. It says rest, it says run. I'm sorry, rest, walk, and run. And it says that in the New Testament. If you look in Mark 6:31, Jesus Christ speaking, hey, he knew there had to be balance with the apostles. It can't be all ministry. There's got to be some relaxation every now and then. That's why I don't fuss when people, hey, they get away. Say, I want to get away for a week and I want to do something with my family for a week. You'll never hear me fuss because we need that. It's a good thing. Mark 6:31, notice what it says there. It says, he said unto them, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going and they had no leisure so much as to eat. You know what Jesus recognized? Said apostles, said, hey, you need a break. Everyone needs a day off. Everyone needs to relax a little bit. You say, what happens if you don't get that? What did they say? All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I mean, really? Everybody's got to have a day off every now and then. Every now and then you got to step back from something and say, okay, I need a break. You know, nothing wrong with that. But that's just part of the equation. What happens if you lay on the couch and never get off it? You're going to die right there on the couch. You got to get off your rear end and do something. Everybody does. You know, it's funny. I'm going to have the surgery. You know what he told me? He said, this is going to be the most painful thing you've ever gone through in your life. He said, but the first 3 days, you're going to have to get up and walk every 2 hours. You know what the nurse told me? He said, now don't be some stupid idiot and set your alarm clock and get up every 2 hours and walk for 2 minutes and lay back down. That ain't what I'm talking about. He said, once you get off your rear end and walk around for 15 or 20 minutes. Get off the couch and do something. Now, I'll tell you what. The more you lay on the couch, the worse you feel. Is that not a fact? You say, why? You got to have some balance in your life. A Christian who lays around and does nothing will never be happy or be satisfied. You got to do something. Activity has a way of stimulating life, no doubt about it. But in Genesis chapter number 17, I want you to know the first mention of this word, or not the first mention of it, but an important mention of it, is Genesis 17 and verse number 1. This is what God, and you know the passage here, God is speaking to Abraham, and notice what he tells him here. And you have to like this, I like it, but Genesis 17, 1, he says, and Abram was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Lord, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. You wonder why old people walk? Old people don't run. What do old people do? They walk. He said, I want you to walk before me and be perfect. Hey, there's a time to rest, but there's a time to get up and do something also. And just because you're old doesn't mean you can't do anything for Jesus Christ. Hey, walk before me and be thou perfect. And then Hebrews 12:1 says this, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So what do you got to do? You got to rest, you got to walk, and you got to run. You know what that is? Balance. You know why so many people are out of balance? Because too many people, all they want to do is run. That won't work. You'll burn out. You'll run out of gas. You'll be a casualty. Some people, you can't ever get them to do anything but lay on the couch. And they'll sit there and rust away to nothing. And then others, all they want to do is walk. But there's a time to get, there's a time to pick it up and do a little better than that. You know, what did David say? He said the king's business requires what? Haste. There's some times you got to get busy with your life and do something. You know? And hey, how long, not being mean now, but how long are you going to live off of mom and daddy? There comes a day when you got to grow up and be a man and be a woman, right? Say amen. Amen. I've seen so many of these kids that are 40 years old and they're still dependent on mom and daddy to buy them supper. They're still dependent on mommy and daddy to pay their car insurance. They're still dependent on mommy and daddy to put gas in their car, and there's something wrong with that. Now, if you're mentally retarded or you got Down syndrome, I can understand that. But if that's not your problem, you got a real problem in your life. You say, what's happened? They've lost balance. I think they made a movie about that called Failure to Launch. Can't get someone out of your house. Hey, let me tell you something. You say, what's the problem? We've lost balance. And boy, the church is going down the road going thump, 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 thump. What's wrong with the church? It's out of balance. The home's going boom, 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 boom like the washing machine. What's wrong with the house? Man, it's out of balance. Christianity, oh my gosh. Car won't even start anymore because it's out of balance. We got to get some balance in our life. And it's hard sometimes to find balance. I'll be the first one to admit it. Man, sometimes when it comes to ministry, I struggle to find balance. Because, you know, I'm always go, 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 go. And the Lord says, now you're going to rest, 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 rest. Sometimes the Lord pulls the plug on me, right? And, you know, but we got to find balance in our life. And ask yourself, what is missing in my life? Is the engine running good or something out of balance? Let's stand for prayer. I'm going to pray.